coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online. And yes, I am live with you today. When I came into the church this morning, John came in a little bit later and said, "How's your morning going?" I said, "Well, it's long so far. Been up since 4 o'clock. Just laid there in bed and, you know, and tried to think about different things and whatnot. And then yesterday I was studying the book of Joel, all three chapters. And I'm thinking, you know, I'll probably talk about that tomorrow. We'll probably talk about Joel's army, things like that. So I had, you know, had my mind made up, and it's been a busy morning, lot going on. I had a nursing home visit this morning with Bonnie and Roy, and Roy was talking to Bonnie early this morning, and Roy wanted me to come over and talk and visit with Bonnie, and so I did, prayed with her. They had given her some morphine, so she was sort of in and out of it. Just pray for Roy. He is really, really having a tough time with watching her and how long this process is taking for her to go to heaven. And he feels guilty about praying that God would shorten it. And I said, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to bring up a topic today because God's changed it. I looked at my email just a little while ago, and God's changed it, and I'm pretty sure about it. This body that we dwell in is temporary, and it will always be temporary. It was never. If you think that God didn't foresee Adam and Eve eating that fruit, then you don't know God. What they could have had in the Garden of Eden and what they actually ended up with, God was fully aware of before he ever created everything. And what I'm saying to you is this body is going to die, and everybody who owns one of these is going to lose it. It's that simple. And that's an important subject. It is an important issue to deal with, because which would you rather keep? Your body or your soul? Because you cannot keep both. And you're not going to. So it's a very simple issue. But we're going to talk about the difference between commandments of God, morals of God, and things that we believe please God. And sometimes there's a difference. We're going to talk about that today, and it's not going to be easy because I haven't really prepared for it. And I'll tell you what led up to this. Of course, I've asked you to pray for Roy and Bonnie, and I want to mention another guy. He calls here a lot, and I usually talk to him in just a little bit. He's very respectful on the phone, but he at work today fell and broke his leg. So his name is Nick, and he is asking for God's people to pray for him, and so he's going to be out of work for a while. So you pray for him, and you know, he's probably in a lot of pain, and so just lift him up, and I know he will appreciate it. Okay, now I got a text from a friend last night, and where the state where they live, and I'm going to talk about this because I think it probably needs to be talked about. It is an issue that we have to decide. Is this a Christian issue? Is this a Bible doctrine, lose your salvation issue? This issue. They were notified, they found out that all public education, higher education, I guess, college, universities, all of their employees, they got the mandate. And you know what that means. It means they have to get all, and see, they're changing it now. If you said, I am fully vaccinated, that doesn't mean what it meant last month. Because now they're saying, well, there's a third booster now. And men with power, people with power, and the abuse of that power, it makes us angry, doesn't it? It makes us angry. Men and women with power and how they abuse that power to enrich their own lives, to gain more power over people, to extend their power. And this happens in both parties, left and right, Republican to Democrat, you know, Labor and Tory, I guess, I don't know, in England, UK, whatever. I don't know the political parties in England. But Canada, it's the same way. Canada is leading the charge for what is happening in North America. And there are mandates up there that would make us boil as Americans. And the Canadian brethren have written me some emails to let me know just how bad it is up there with all these mandates and what you can and cannot do. And I listened to a podcast yesterday, and there was a lawyer from Quebec, and for those of you who don't know, Quebec is pretty much this, it's sort of like the state of Texas, well, excuse me, the Federal Republic of Texas, because Quebec is nuts about the French language, and I mean nuts about it. The moment you step into the province of Quebec, you better parlez-vous français. And it's even gotten to the point now that they're arguing about, this is what I heard yesterday, they're arguing about how many children in the province of Quebec that they're going to allow to teach English to. No kidding. And that's a right-wing issue. You know, hooray for Quebec. We're patriots. I don't know how to say it in French, but hooray for Quebec. And we're sold on Quebec, and this is our mother country, and we're going to support the old ways, which means parlez-vous français, out your ear. And that's a right-wing issue up there, is they demand French in Quebec. And there's laws on signage, how much English can be on a sign, how much English can be on a wrapper that's on a package that comes into Quebec. And the rest of Canada is not like that with French, but Quebec, they are like the Federal Republic of Quebec when it comes to the French language and all of that. They're like Texas. Don't mess with Texas. So how much of that, now let me ask you that question. Is speaking French a Christian issue? No. I'm pretty sure it's not. And there's just a lot of things that we put into the category of God wants me to do this, that you cannot point to a verse in the Bible that says God wants you to do this. And we'll have some examples. First of all, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Easy place to start out with, because it gives you the blessings and the cursings. It makes it obvious. Do what I say, and I'll bless you. Don't do what I say, and I'm going to curse you, and this is how I'm going to do it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which means you cannot pick and choose. You do not have the right in God's kingdom to pick and choose which commandments you personally are going to fulfill and which commandments you personally are going to force down other people's throats and say they're not Christians because they do things that you say are wrong. You don't get to pick and choose. You're not God. I'm not God. And usually when it comes, I've learned over the years that I'm not the smartest tool in the tool shed. I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to making decisions for other people's lives. I've learned over the years, keep my mouth shut about what everybody does. So I may have an opinion, but that's all it is. And that's scriptural. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Paul said. Do I have a right to go around pointing a finger at everybody? Jesus Christ taught us this. Do we have a right to go around pointing a finger at everybody saying you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, and you're doing that wrong? That's not Christian. That's not how Christians do it. And we pick out stuff that we call Christian, and when people don't do what we demand they do, we go off on them. It happens on Facebook every day. Don't ask me to join Facebook and participate. Because it steams me. So anyway, it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, your children, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Now, let me say this as a comment to what I just read. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. If you are of the belief that an overhanded government is the enemy to free people, and it is. A heavy-handed government is an enemy to people who want to be free. And God is either going to bless your liberties or he's going to curse them. And it all depends on Do you choose to follow all of his commandments? Or, as I said earlier, you pick out a few that you can judge everybody with, but you deny the ones that you personally and secretly violate. So, I mean, let me just come out and say it. A guy sits on the internet and he watches conspiracy theory videos all day long, and he watches all this right-wing America videos from BitChute and everybody that got kicked off YouTube, and he decides what he's going to judge everybody with on Facebook, and he comes out as this big fanatic Christian on Facebook, blasting everybody for doing things the wrong way. And on the other 8 tabs of his computer, he's got porn videos pulled up. Is that a fair judge? Is that a good judge? No, it's not. Not in any way. And that's my point. That is my point. It's like the Seventh-day Adventist saying, God told us to go to church on Saturday, and we're not allowed to go to church on Sunday. God said so. And if you break that rule, you're going to hell. There is no salvation for you. If you break that rule, you are going to hell. So, yeah, they go, and they go to church on Saturday and lusting after some family's 16-year-old daughter. Is that keeping the law, or is that breaking the law? Number one, God didn't even tell us to go to church on Saturday. He didn't even say those words. That's my point. Keeping the law is an impossibility for this flesh. Now, I'm not saying that means we're not supposed to keep the law. That's not what I'm saying. God will whoop the fire out of you. Or he'll just flat refuse to save you. He'll just flat refuse to. So anyway, those are the blessings. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. Well, let me get back to the point I was going to make on the enemies that rise up against us. God will either bless us as people who love God's commandments, all of them, And a people who are a holy people. God will either bless us and cause our enemies to fall before us, or he will allow us to be as the salt that lost its savor and to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. And we are right now, we are being trodden under the foot of men. And there ain't a thing you can do about it. You can send all the emails and you can complain that Facebook, you're in Facebook prison and you got kicked off YouTube, and you can complain about all of that, and there is not a thing that's going to change it. Not a thing. Well, God can. You're right. But what is God doing? Not us. What is God doing about it? What did God say he would do here? The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. God's supposed to do that for us. Now, Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. That just is not the case in this world today. It's not the case. Too many churches have blown it. Too many churches, too many church people, and too many pastors have blown it for Christianity's public relations department in this world. And when you go around bragging about how God wants you to live this way and God gives you the right to do this and all this, people roll their eyes. They could not care less. And it's gotten worse in my lifetime. And there are no signs. There's no wind blowing telling me that it's getting better. So then verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in... Who wants to live in Detroit? Who wants to go to a WNBA parade? Did you know that the WNBA had a championship? Did you know that? No, I didn't either. I had to hear about it from an Australian news organization. Yeah. Because they said Lori Lightloafers is a... And Chicago won. The Chicago Women's National Basketball Association won the world championship. Beat every team in the world. And Lori Lightfoot said, let's have a parade for them. And sure enough, all five fans of the WNBA Chicago women's team, I don't even know who they are, all five of their fans showed up. It was an embarrassing parade. The world's most embarrassing parade. It was substantially less than Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin's parade that they got in Chicago. Substantially less than that. Like by 20 million people, substantially less than that. Anyway, what was I saying? Do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee, that all these curses shall... Cursed shalt thou be in the city. And cursed shalt thou be in the field. God, cursed, what's happening with Lake Mead? Lake Mead is the lake where California and Las Vegas and parts of Arizona are supposed to get all their water. And they're gonna have to start fighting before too long over who's getting that water. Because that water is almost gone. Is God blessing them? Is God blessing Las Vegas? Is God blessing Los Angeles? Is God blessing that air? No. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So it's real simple here. Now, I heard Dr. David Gibbs, Christian Law Association. Some people don't like him. I don't know what all he's done, but I've heard him speak a couple of times, and I know he's a King James man. And so even if there was something I didn't like about him, I probably wouldn't say it publicly. But anyway, I've had the opportunity to hear him speak on two or three occasions. And he said something one time because David Gibbs runs what's called the Christian Law Association, him and his son, and they represent churches that get hauled into court over various church-related issues. And they defend the churches if they think, you know, the church is in the right, biblically. And that's why he said we use the King James, because the language in the King James is legally superior than these modern translations. And by the way, you know, the way they change the modern translations, you can't count on them anyway, so stay with the King James. So David Gibbs said this one time, and it really caused me to think about what I believed was right and what I believed was wrong, and where could I substantiate what's right and what's wrong? What place, what authority tells me what's right and what's wrong? So I got a notice last night from a friend. His wife is an educator in a college or university in their state, and as of December, the mandate will kick in at some point in December, and the mandate will kick in that everybody working in a federally funded college or university must be COVID. I'll use the word vaccinated. I'm not arguing that issue today. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree that they should have the right to force a medical procedure on anybody just to work at some place. I don't agree with that. Okay? And neither do they. And probably 99% of the people who are listening to me, or whoever listened to me, would say the same thing. We don't agree with that. They should not be allowed to force a medical procedure on people who do not want it. Should not be allowed to force it on them. So then I got a call today from another family, different state. Similar situation. This man found out that the company that he works for is going to mandate. And he's upset over it. He doesn't want it. I don't want it. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it for his family. I don't blame him. Then I get an email from somebody today, two emails, asking me, how do I know when I'm hearing from God? Okay? Because the guy that called, now, his situation is different, and I'll tell you why in a minute, than the family that reached out to me last night. The family that reached out to me last night, it's the wife who, if she doesn't get the vaccination, she will lose her job. Okay? Now, I cannot, and this is part of the issue that I'm going to deal with. I cannot point to you a verse of scripture that mandates or commands or is part of God's morality scheme. Scheme, I'm just, you know, don't judge every word I say. but as part of God's morality package. I cannot point to a verse in the Bible that mandates that she has to be the breadwinner for the family. I can't point to that verse. Now, I can point to you a few places where the husband is mandated the head of the family and is the one responsible for the majority breadwinner of the family. And this was something that as a young father and husband, I failed in years ago. I failed that test a couple of times. And I let my wife be the majority breadwinner. And God made me realize that it was a mistake. And it was not for me. It was not for my wife to be out working, in especially in a big place. The responsibilities that were on her were horrible, and she was coming home in tears all the time. And I would try to be a loving shoulder for her to cry on. Failed in that too a few times. But every time she'd feel like quitting, she'd say, "I think God's telling me to quit." I'd say, "Well, that's your decision." And God finally slapped me one day and he said, "Nuh-uh. Whose authority is she under? She under yours or are you under hers?" And I went, "Oh, man." And God was right. And I went to her. And I said, God has shown me where I was wrong, and if you think God's telling you to quit, you quit. And if you're right on this, God will bless us, just like he said in Deuteronomy 28. God would, and you know what he did? And she went from being the majority breadwinner to an extremely minority breadwinner. And we never missed a bill. Never missed a payment, fed the kids, took good care of them. And it was right at that time that God had me going places all over the country, preaching on numbers in the Bible, in the King James Bible and everything like that. And it would not have worked had I gone out alone for a week. For a while, it was a week out of every month I was gone. And it would have put a great, great strain on our marriage. It would have put a great strain on the family. And it just wasn't right. And God blessed that. Tremendously, he blessed it. So I don't want to keep on with that story, but that was God says, "Prove me now herewith," and it was one of those things where we said, "God, we're going to act in faith and believe that this is what you're telling us, and if it's not, then stop us. But if it is, you know, will you help us?" And it's what he said. It's what he promised he would do. God's a helper. God is a tremendous helper to those who trust him and say, "God, will you show me what to do here?" So the man that got on the phone, I said, you know, can you, if I said to you, if you were in a courtroom, and this is what David Gibbs said, he said, there's a difference between God's commandments, God's moral guidelines for humanity. They are across the board for everybody. And what we believe, the things that we do that we believe make God happy. Now, and I asked this man this question. I said, let's say that there's a family, and they are 100% against any medical intervention in their bodies whatsoever. And I mean aspirin, everything. 100% against any medical intervention in their body and their children's body. And I said, that family, it's not the children. The mom and dad decided God is going to heal us. We have faith in him. We have to put our faith in him. And it's not showing much faith to God if we go out and take aspirin. It's not showing that we trust God. And now, I'm going to ask you this question. Has there ever been people like that? Or am I just making that up? Yes. And this has already been through the courts in this country. Parents refusing what in some cases amounted to simple medical procedures that would save their children's lives, choosing rather in a totally ignorant manner, saying God has told us that we're not to seek any medical treatment and that he would heal us. So, point to that place where God told you that. Did he tell it to you in this ear? Did he tell it to you in his word? Where was that published? Because that answers the first question, the email question that came in. How will I know if God is speaking? You're going to read it in this book. And that is, how do I know if I should leave my wife and go marry another one? How do I know? And I was brought this question when I was working in construction. A guy that I worked with, he was, I think I was probably about 24 at the time. He was about 40, and he was shacking up with a gal. He's talking about how Christian he was, and then he comes in and talks about this girl he's shacking up with. And I went, what are you doing? He said, well, you can't, that's my soulmate. We're soulmates, man. You can't judge me for that. And there was another guy that, it was a young man, and he came to me. He found out I was pastoring a church, and I was working in construction. He came to me and would talk to me at lunch, and he said that he had a wife and two or three kids, and they were going to a church, but he was having an affair with a lady in the church. And he was at that point where he was either going to have to get caught in it, because he knew it was going to happen sooner or later. He's going to either get caught in it or just come right out and tell his wife, I'm leaving you, I'm going to this other woman, or cut it off and hope he doesn't get caught, or tell his wife. It was just getting to that point. So he started making up these reasons why God, he felt, I'm going to have you do something in a minute, why he felt God wanted him to leave his wife and his three children that he'd already fathered and go with this other woman. Okay? And I use the word felt for a reason. I want you to get out a piece of paper and I want you to write these words down. I feel like God is saying, and then like dot, dot, dot to me. Okay? I want you to write that down on a piece of paper. When you get it written down, I want you to circle it, and I want you to write above it and say, number one thing that I will never say again. And I understand God did design women different from men in a lot of ways. And I'm not being facetious. I'm not being sarcastic. And it's that way for a reason. And men, I want you to listen to me. As a man who has made a lot of stupid mistakes, I want you to listen to me. Don't do what I did. Don't make the mistakes that I made. One of the mistakes that I made was believing that I was dictator supreme as the man in my house. Dictator supreme. Did not God say it's not good that that man should be alone? There's a reason for that. And it's because God did not put all the smarts in one brain. I will make him and help meet for him. Okay? And I have learned, and these are biblical, this is part of the biblical moral package that God shows us in the scriptures. Name for me somebody in the Bible who had supreme authority who didn't have a counselor. Nebuchadnezzar had supreme dictatorial authority. People's heads were chopped off at the snap of his fingers. But he never made a decision alone. Did he? King Ahasuerus had counselors. Esther saved every Jew in the world because Haman was going to have them all killed. And at her counsel, her counseling as the wife, Ahasuerus, the king, the man who had supreme dictatorial powers and who even got rid of Vashti, the queen, before Esther, because she disobeyed the king, and the king said she'll never appear as my wife ever again. And Esther knew that in violating the protocols and guidelines, in other words, unless Ahasuerus personally asked for Esther to enter into his presence, by entering into his presence unasked for, she could get her head cut off when he snapped his fingers. But she went in and she advised him and said, this man, Haman, is going to have all my people killed, all of us Jews, and I'm one of them. And so is Mordecai. And Ahasuerus goes out for a breath of fresh air. He's so angry. He comes back and he sees, and God worked this out. He sees Haman like laying across the couch begging Esther, and Ahasuerus gets a sight of it and he thinks Haman's trying to get on top of her. What are you going to force my wife in front of me while I'm standing here watching you, you idiot? Okay. And if I remember right, it was Esther who advised the king on how to deal with Haman. Put Haman up on high. Those gallows that Haman built, hang him up there. And what I'm saying is, just because you're the husband, doesn't the And you may think you have supreme dictatorial power, but I'm telling you, as part of God's moral package, the husband, even the most powerful king, gets advised. He gets it from whom he trusts. And I have learned over the years that my wife will feel things that I will not feel. I have to see it happen. I have to have facts and evidence. I have to have reason and logic. But she will advise me and she will say, be careful of this situation or be careful of these people. And she has been right many times. I've learned over the years. But I want to get back to this. Do not base your belief that God told you to do something on an emotion. On any emotion. Joy, happiness, sadness, crying, weeping, heart pounding, nothing. That is the world's worst way to make a decision. To make a decision alone. I'll say it that way. Okay? Now, having said that, when God brought up the issue to Israel of why he chose Israel, he said, because I love you. Okay? So, but it wasn't the only reason, because his love for not only Israel, but all mankind, does not override his justice. You cannot be an immoral, God-hating, wicked person and receive everlasting life from God, can you? Even though for God so loved the world. Okay? God's just demands require that even though God loves you, he must administer his justice. It's going to have to ride on somebody. It's either going to have to ride on you because you're the one who committed the sins, or it's going to have to hang on Christ who already died for you. But love alone was not the reason why God saved Israel. And it's not the reason why God saved you. If it was just love without someone paying the just penalty, that would be insufficient. Okay? Now, let's get back to what's right and what's wrong, and how do we make decisions? And we're living in a world right now that we found out we don't like. We don't like the overreaching government, either the Canadian government or the United Kingdom government or the Australian government or the United States government. We don't like it. We don't like them reaching into our lives and telling us what we can and cannot do. And they're a bunch of imbeciles anyway at it. And a bunch of hypocrites telling liberal women in this country that nobody has a right to tell you what to do with your own body. Except, of course, us when there's an epidemic around. Okay, then we have a right to tell you what to do with your body. We're the government. Now shut up. See, it's hypocritical. It's gone back and bitten them in their federal posterior. And they're proven to be liars and hypocrites. And we don't like it. We don't like anything about it. But the question, and to those of you and I'm saying this in love, to those of you who are misleading people with endless YouTube videos, blogs, vlogs, podcasts, everything about the COVID vaccine being the mark of the beast, I'm not talking to you. Because I'm not going to convince you otherwise anyway. There's no way that I can, but I am going to challenge you. I am going to challenge you. Can you prove that this vaccine is the Revelation 13, verse 18, mark of the beast? Can you prove it with scripture? It's not. It doesn't take anybody's soul. And it's not possible. It is not possible for man or Satan himself to steal the soul of someone who is born again. Not possible. Jesus himself said that, "No man shall pluck thee out of my hand." Now again, we don't like it. But we have to ask ourselves the question, why do I not like it? Do I not like it because I'm an American and I don't like the government telling me what to do with my body? And that's a good reason. America is a good country. There are good values and freedoms and liberty guaranteed us by the Constitution. And the government overreaching that is violating the laws that are supposed to keep the government off of us and let us just live free. So under that definition, under that clause, I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. And I'm sticking to that. But can I point to the scriptures and say, if I do this, God will curse me under the Deuteronomy 28 clause that he made? God will curse me in every way possible, and I will spend eternity in hell if I do this. And that's where it gets into, is this a commandment? Now, is it a sin to commit adultery? Yes. Can you point to the scripture that says it? Yes. You can point to several of them. You can even point to Jesus further defining what constitutes that adulterous act. It's not just performed with the motor skills of the body. It's done in the mind. Right? That is a clear and a direct violation of a commandment of God. And if any government, I'll give you this for example. China has a one-child policy. One-child policy in China. And if you get pregnant again, it's automatic abortion. Now, if we lived in China, we would have to, and this is where it's really, we're not going to like it. We would have to stand against the entire Chinese communist government and have that second child against the laws and commandments of the Chinese government and be willing then to face the consequences. Because you're not going to win with the government. You're not going to win. I don't know what the punishment is. I don't know if they kill the baby anyway. I don't know. They throw you in prison? I'm sure that there's prison term. And I'm sure a Chinese prison is not the place you want to end up. Let me give you... Let's take another example. Suppose God called you and your family to go be missionaries in Kenya. I can't speak for other nations in Kenya, but I know a little bit about Kenya law. Okay, suppose God called you to be a missionary, you and your family in Kenya, and you're gonna pack up. God's given you the money. You're gonna pack everything up. You're gonna move you and your family, and you're gonna go to Kenya. Now, the first thing that I'm gonna tell you you cannot do is take your guns with you. Because you won't get to keep them. Not unless you have special permission by the government. And, gentlemen, please remove your pocket knife out of your pocket and leave it with somebody you trust in America. Because you're not going to walk around the streets with a concealed knife in your pocket. Now, you can carry a machete all day long, but you cannot carry a pocket knife in Kenya. It is again. I did. I asked first day in Kenya. I'm opening up boxes of DVDs to give out to people, and I said, "Anybody here got a pocket knife?" And they looked at me and went, "You can't do that. You can't do that. No, we don't have a pocket knife." I'm going, "Really? You don't have a pocket knife? No, we can't have a pocket knife." Leave your pocket knife. Now, this gun issue that we Americans stand for, you're going to have to decide, did God call you to go be a missionary in Kenya? And if he did, are you going to take your guns anyway? Because God is not going to call you. How many people has God called to be missionaries in these African nations? And none that I'm aware of, none of these African nations just allow everybody to go around carrying guns on the streets, unless it's Somalia. So, even that gun issue, which I've personally made a case for in the scriptures, that God gives it to us as a right, when I go to Kenya, I don't carry my AR-15, my SKS, Russian-made semi-automatic rifle. Okay, my 38 Special. I don't carry my 20 gauge, 30-06. I don't carry them because I'll get arrested, and I do not want to go. I don't want to go to a Kenyan prison. I don't want to go. So you see my point here. If I move to Kenya, I am automatically relinquishing some of the rights that I have in this country to go live over there to preach the gospel to those people over there, minister to them. And is God going to command me to move to that country? And that's a question in my mind. Does God give us the right to carry guns? Yes. Does he command us to? No. Not that I'm aware of. Okay? That's different God has not commanded us, everybody, to be carrying heat, packing heat everywhere they go, shooting all the bad guys. God does not command us to do that, but he gives it to us as a right. Okay? So, or let's say that God called you to go to the Netherlands to be a missionary over there. Now, that's a whole different world over there. Trust me. It is a very liberal, left-wing society. Very liberal. And you go over there taking these rights that you have learned as an American to hold so precious to you and go to Holland and preach the gospel. There's some things you're going to have to get used to not saying anymore. Or face the consequences. I've heard of families who have had homeschool issues over there. And I guarantee you it's a lot more strictly monitored over there than it is here. And that was the issue that David Gibbs brought up. And I think the issue was there was a divorce, and I think the mom wanted the kids to go to Christian school. The dad said no, put them in public school. So the mom was going to make her case and say, God tells me as a parent that I'm not to send my kids to public school. Now, and we're dealing, you have to understand now, we're dealing with courts. We're dealing with judges and juries and laws that are written down, not feelings, not emotions. Can you point to the scripture where God forbids us from allowing public school system, government education, whatever you want to call it, from allowing them to teach our children? Can you point to that place in the Bible where God forbids that? I can point to you places in the Bible where it says to us as parents, train up the child in the way that he should go. That is our responsibility as parents. But he did not put that responsibility on the government. He didn't. I can show you in the Bible where the Bible tells us as parents to use the rod, physical punishment done in love. I can also point to you the place in the Bible where it tells you fathers to not abuse the authority you have over your children and provoking your children to anger. You can carry, fathers, you can carry that too far with your children and they'll hate you the rest of their life for it. And God knows that. And God warns us as fathers specifically in those words. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. There is a way to love them.
I tell you what, my old man, he used to beat the blank out of me. And that was the way I was raised. And I raised my kids that way.
Was it right though, was it? Wasn't right. Not according to God, it wasn't. And I can point to you those verses where God specifically said that. But can you point to a place in the Bible where God forbids you as a parent from allowing your children to be educated by the government system? And the answer is, I so far have not found that as a commandment. It is a preference that we have as Christians, but is not a commandment. In fact, the commandment out of Deuteronomy 6 lays the responsibility of training the children in the scriptures, not on the school they go to. Lays it on the parents. These words, this is Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. See, he tells you to teach them to your children, and then he tells you, the parents, to talk about them in your house. Why? So you're not hypocrites with them. Because the kids are going to understand that mom and dad are nothing but hypocrites, making me go to a Christian school or homeschool me, but dad drinks a little liquor every now and then. Mom watches stuff that they don't let us watch. They can smell hypocrisy in parents. They're looking for it. And all I'm saying is, I have not seen a place in the Bible where God mandates, and that's the point David Gibbs was making. He could not win the case for this Christian parent to force the husband to make his kids go to a Christian school, a private Christian school. He could not make that case biblically. So he said that you're probably going to lose in court. And he's right. I believe in home education. I believe in Christian education. I ran a Christian school for 13 years here. We are still training my grandkids here in a homeschool sort of Christian school environment here. But that's not, I've learned over the years, that is not going to guarantee that my grandkids are all going to be saints for the living God. So, then it gets into, is it wrong for your children to learn to play the piano from a woman who's not a Christian? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Is it wrong for you to go to a doctor who's not a Christian? Good luck finding one that is. Can I go to an auto mechanic that's not a Christian? You might prefer to go to one who is, that you trust. But it's not a commandment. We have a responsibility to live in this world and get along with the people that we know and see every day. But on this issue of who educates our children, God clearly puts the religious aspect of it on the parent, not the school system. Now, getting back to this decision, these mandates. My point in all of this is this. I think the scripture would say here, let every man judge in his own mind. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an employment agency. And I'm just a man who's trying to find his way through this world and get to heaven for myself first and lead others with me. And I cannot tell you to take or not take the COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID whatever vaccine. All I can say is to the husbands. And here's what I told the gentleman today. It actually ended up being a lot more simple than what I was making it originally. I said, let me tell you how simple this is going to be. You're going to... I asked him the question. This is how we brought it out. I said, who owns... We got to ask the question, who owns our bodies? Who does this body belong to? I said, do we own it? He said, no. I said, who owns it? God, right? Yeah, God owns this body. I said, then let God decide what he wants to do with it. I said, now that sounds oversimplified. But the truth of it is, if God owns this body, then God is the one who gets to make the choice and the decision on what goes in it, doesn't he? Yep, sure does. Kind of makes it pretty simple once you think of it that way. I can point to you with this finger those verses that clearly say this body is not ours. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, whose temple we are. So clearly, the decision to vaccinate or not vaccinate or whatever this thing is not my decision. It's not your decision either. It's God's. And I said, I would do this. I would go to God between now and the deadline and say, God, I'm going to be like Gideon here. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to put a fleece out and make it wet one day and dry the next. Show me two signs on what you want me to do. Do you want me to quit my job? And if you do, you've told me that I'm still to be the breadwinner of the family. So if I end up quitting this job, in order for me to not violate what I know clearly the Bible says, God, I'm going to have you help me get another job. And it doesn't have to be, you know, who wants to be a millionaire? I just got to pay my bills and feed my family. Ask God that one. And who knows? Miracles break out every day, don't they? People call me all the time. Guess what, Pastor Mike? God worked it out in a way to where I don't even have to do this anymore. I get that stuff all the time on various issues. God's still in the miracle working business. God may end up making you owner of the company next week. Who knows? My point is this. Usually this stuff is pretty simple when it comes to knowing what God wants out of us. If we are willing to listen to the Word of God in the Scriptures. The whole Word of God, not the little pieces we pick and choose. When it comes to this body, it belongs to God. God is the one who decides when it dies anyway. Church that I'm friends with here in DeSoto, Missouri, their recent COVID virus thing has cost them 3 funerals this week. 3 funerals this week. That's tough. God is the one who made that decision, isn't he? God is the one, and I want you to think about this. God is the one who decided to allow that virus in those bodies. Now, you know I'm right on that one. You know I am. God made the decision to allow the virus into those people's bodies. They didn't do it to themselves. They didn't do it to themselves. Who would? God made the decision. And now, guess what? He's blessing them with eternal life. Now you tell me what they lost. I just don't see that they... For me to live as Christ, to die is gain, the Bible says. Well, let's play some happy little music. And think some happy little thoughts. And open our happy little Bibles. And go about this life as if God is the one making all the decisions for us. When you think of it that way, it does make you feel better. It made me feel better. You're the reason why I do what I do. I do it because I love you. Maybe Thursday we'll talk about Joel. We'll see.